turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 4. God has me to emphasize certain truths for a period of time. I will, he'll have me for a season on one topic, and then he'll change it the next topic. The last time I was here, of course, I taught on following the Holy Spirit because he had me on that flow. And so now he has me on another flow, and we're just going to dive into it because no matter how much we think we've heard it, we need to know it more and more and more and more. The Spirit of God said to my husband, he woke him up one time about 4:30 in the morning and spoke with him for a couple of hours and said this, 97% of my people are living beneath what I've provided for them. Think of that, 97%. Now, we know this, that in the Old Testament, the word tells us that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It didn't say they're destroyed because of the devil. He didn't say they're destroyed because of circumstances. He didn't say they're destroyed due to lack of education. They're not destroyed because they're born into poverty. They're destroyed for one reason, lack of knowledge. Now, when he says, my people, he's not talking about people that are under the influence of the devil.
That's right.
He's saying, my people are destroyed. In the Hebrew, because that verse was originally written in Hebrew, in the Hebrew, the word destroyed means cut off. So it would read this way, my people are cut off from the blessings of God through the lack of knowledge. When you know what belongs to you, you refuse to yield up to the devil what's yours.
Amen.
When you know,
that's right.
So when the Spirit of God said to my husband, 97% of my people are living beneath what I provided for them, what do we know? 97% do not have appropriate knowledge. They may have a measure of knowledge, but they don't have full knowledge. Now, we know this, that we're going to be, through eternity, it's going to be even unveiled more and more and more the greatness of God.
Amen.
But we know this, on this earth, there should be a rich fullness of knowledge that we need to live successfully on this earth to know what is ours and what Jesus provided for us and be immovable in that.
That's right. Amen.
It's not enough to know it. If you're movable in it, you don't know it. You might have heard it. You might even shout about it. But knowing it means you refuse to yield it up. You refuse to let go of that knowledge. You're living that knowledge in every single arena of your life. So when he said 97% of my people are living beneath, 97% do not have appropriate knowledge.
That's good, Pastor.
97% don't think right. Well, no. I know, you know, God loves me and he'll provide for me. Yes, but if you say, I don't know where we're going to get the money from, I never have enough money, you don't think right, no matter what you say you know. You don't think right. The knowledge you gain must change the way you think. That when you're faced with difficulty, when you're faced with not enough, you better make sure that that knowledge is in the forefront of your thinking of what belongs to you in Christ. 97% don't think right. So we constantly have to address our thinking. Constantly. Dad Hagen made this statement. Now see, Paul called it the renewing of the mind. What's the renewing of the mind? It means taking on God's thoughts. It means thinking like he thinks in a situation. It means taking on his definition. If you have a definition of what healing is, but the word shows you another definition of what healing is, then you lay down your definition to take on his definition.
Right.
That's what renewing your mind means. If what you know is contradictory to what God says, you lay down what you know and you pick up what he says. That's called renewing your mind, and then you live according to what he says instead of according to what you have known over
That's
the years.
Right. Amen.
And so Paul called it the renewing of the mind. Dad Hagen made this statement. The mind does not stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Every day you have to get up and do something with your hair.
Oh, yeah. Right.
No matter how much you combed it yesterday, some of you might have spent a lot of time in front of the mirror with your hair yesterday. Today, you had to get up and get in front of the mirror and do something with your hair because it didn't stay put in place.
That's right.
That's the way the mind is. The mind will revert back unless you put the knowledge of God continually flowing into that to hold that right thinking in place. Once you hear right thinking, you've got to hold it in place.
That's right.
That's why we have to hear and keep hearing and hearing and never get casual or never get familiar with what we know or familiar with what we've heard. We need to embrace it afresh. Every time we hear it, we need to embrace it afresh.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
And if people do not do their hair every day, we can tell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If people are not keeping their minds renewed, we can tell.
Yeah.
We can tell. You start looking different than you should.
Right. Come on now, Pastor.
Yeah.
Sure.
Your life starts looking different.
Yes.
The devil is going to fight you in the financial arena more than any other arena.
Yeah.
Because if he can stop you, you're going to have the greatest difficulties, opposition rather, in the financial arena. Why? Because we are in this system where God, this, you know, the economy that's set up in this system, it's not God's way of operating.
That's right.
It's the devil's system.
Right, it is.
But God's system will override.
Yeah. Amen.
But yet, because we're surrounded with this world system, we've got to learn to bring God's flow into it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And not let this economy and this system dictate what we can have. And what God can do for us. So we constantly have to use our faith when it comes to finances.
Yep.
Constantly.
Yep.
There's never going to be a time when you're not going to need your faith for your finances.
Right.
So that we don't become one of the 97%,
that's right,
we need to make sure we're thinking right.
Amen.
Thinking right.
Amen.
Amen. So here in Luke chapter 4, I think this is one of the best places to begin. Know this, we're in a new era. We're in the beginnings of it. We're in a revival. We're in the beginnings of it. It needs funding. The devil would love to keep the funds out of the hands of the church so that he can hinder or stifle that. Dr. T.L. Osborne, I was listening to a CD of his some time back, and he made this statement. He said, there are preachers that like to have me in their church, and he said it this way, and I know what he means, and stay with me. Don't get turned off to this statement. Stay with me and let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
He said, because I know how to get the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, and if you don't know how to get the money, your ministry won't go anywhere. Now, he's not telling us to be money-minded and greedy. He just knows this, what God's doing needs funding.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to believe God for the funding, you're going to be limited in what you can do for God.
That's right.
You've got a new church building, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get that on your pastor's good looks. Would that even pay the interest?
Yes.
It would? Okay, then Pastor Katie's will pick up the principle. No, they want money. They don't even care that you're there to bless the community. Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah. Right.
You better come in with money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you need to know how to get the money.
Yeah, right, right.
If you don't know how to get the money for your own life, you're not going to know how to get the money for this local church's vision. You need to know how to get the money. Not because we're money-minded, but because we're funding what God is doing. And it's not up to the world to have all the money to fund their perversions while God's work goes unfunded. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Where is it laid up?
Yeah.
With the sinner.
With the sinner.
Yeah.
Sure.
You have to know how to get the money from the sinner. I'm not talking about stealing it. I'm talking about with divine ideas. I'm talking about with authority, and I'm talking about with faith.
Yes.
It's laid up in places that you don't live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we have to think right. I said, we have to think right.
Yeah.
So here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus stood up in his hometown and he made this astounding statement about why he was here on the earth. Now, Jesus told Brother Hagin in a vision, he said, this sermon that I preached in my hometown of Nazareth, that's not the only time I preached it. He said, that is the first sermon I preached in every city I went. Why? Because in this sermon, he's declaring who he is and what his purpose is. So he says this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the first thing he told people in a city.
Yeah.
How would they know that he was anointed if he didn't tell them?
That's right.
He
said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was wanting them to make a demand on the anointing that was on him. So he's telling them, it's on me. Why? So you can have it.
Yeah,
so he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me.
Yes.
Notice this, to preach the gospel to the poor. People will say, well, he means spiritually poor. No. You're not spiritually poor.
Right.
If you're not born again, you're spiritually dead.
That's right.
Spiritually, you're either dead or alive.
Yeah, right.
You're not poor or rich
right.
when it comes to spiritual things.
Right.
Your spirit's not partially poor.
Right. Come on now.
Partially supplied.
Right.
You're either dead or alive.
You're dead or alive. That's good, Pastor Nancy.
So when he says, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, notice the first thing he starts dealing with, where they live.
Yeah.
You live in a financial situation. Every single being on this earth is affected by the economy.
Yes. That's right.
Their own life's economy.
Yeah.
The economy. You need money to function.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm anointed for that.
Yes.
I'm anointed for that.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me, look at this, to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice he didn't say the Spirit of the Lord's upon me to start outreaches to the poor.
Come on.
To have food banks for the poor. Am I against them? No, that's not the cure.
That's just not the cure.
That's not the cure.
Yeah.
He's talking about the solution to poverty.
Poverty. Come on now.
He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So what do people who need an increase financially need? The gospel. They think they need money. So they go to family members and try to get them to give them money, and you keep giving them money, and it's going to make you poor because you are trying to cure something with money that only the gospel can cure. Let me tell you how to get funded. Live the plan of God for your life. Hook up with what God is doing. If you're going to just look to your profession to fund you, you're going to struggle the rest of your life. Because God is the provider. That's what the gospel shows us. God is the provider. If you don't know the gospel, you're going to think your boss is your provider. You're going to think your profession is your provider. And those of you who are married, these ladies are going to think that your husband is your provider. Every man is released from the responsibility of thinking he's the provider. You're not anointed for it. You're not big enough for it. And you do not have the blessing of God on you to be the provider, because that's what he's blessed as. He is the provider. Some of you ladies are, in general, not specifically, some ladies get married And that is their idea of their financial planning. Their financial plan is marriage. If that would have been my financial plan, I'd be in a heap of trouble right now. Right? If that was my financial plan. I have had, over the years of pastoring, I have had so many women come in and do the manipulating thing of saying, well, I just want him to take care of me. Why did I just got married so he could take care of me. I just want somebody to take care of me. Well, aren't you a sick little morphidite thing? Little moochy leechy thing that you hooked up, you got hooked up with a man so he could take care of you. How small are you? Wrong thinking.
Yeah, wrong thinking.
That kind of brain needs the gospel.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the gospel shows us God is the provider. Yes. No man who is the head of his family is assigned to be the provider.
Come on. That's right.
You are to lead the family in faith in the provider.
That's right.
That's your job. That's what being the head of the family means. You're leading your family in faith in who he is and what God will do for you as a family.
That's good. Amen.
That's what the gospel shows. Our nation is very generous. Our nation has dumped millions and billions of dollars into third world countries. And you know what? They are still third world countries. Why? Because money is not the cure. Government programs are not the cure. Welfare system is not the cure. None of this is the cure. I'm not saying you cannot help people in being generous. I'm saying if you really want to help people, give them the cure. The gospel is the cure. Until you start, fine, send in money, send in food, but send in the gospel. That the money and the food tides them over until you can get the gospel in them. Because they need to learn to call on the provider and not multiple gods. No wonder. You will never get these countries blessed calling on someone other than the provider. Not going to. And you say, oh boy, yeah, I know that really needs to change about some countries. Well, I know some people, believers, do the same thing, calling their job their provider.
Wow. That's good.
Same, you're in the same boat.
Right. That's right, Pastor.
Calling your profession your provider. It's not. Your profession is not your provider. That is an avenue that God will use to bring supply. But an avenue is not a provider.
Amen.
He is the provider.
He is.
And this is what Jesus said, I'm anointed to bring the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed to tell you and teach you through my word that God is your provider. He will take care of you. He supplies for you. He delights to do that. He delights to do that. That's the first thing he listed. Why? Because if people aren't taken care of financially, they're angry. They're mad. They're struggling. They're worried. And Jesus said, I've come to cure that problem for humanity.
Yes. Amen.
I've got the anointing on me so that that's never another problem for you. Never being poor again. I tell our congregation members, if you fall behind financially, don't assume the cure is go get job number three. The cure is get more gospel in you. Get more of the word in you. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your mind. Get it in your conversation at dinner. Get it in you. Amen. And too many times people are doing something in the natural because they think money is the cure for their problem. When my husband went home to be with the Lord, I was left responsible now for $6.5 million with ministry, and part of that is personal. If I would have thought that money was my cure, can you imagine how wore out I'd be right now by thinking I got to book myself, I got to go, and then I've got to look at the offering checks given me and say, oh no, my gosh, this isn't enough. I don't live that way. I don't book meetings based on that I need income. I book meetings to be a blessing to the place I'm going. That's it. And in that, God will bless me. But my motive and my thinking is never that that check that I will get is my provision. It's not my provider. God's my provider. He will use that as an avenue, but that is God is my provider. Because this year, see, last year after Ed went home to be with the Lord, I was gone about 3 weeks out of every month traveling. Then, of course, pastoring. I'd come home on the weekends and pastor. Sometimes. But this year, God said to me, I want you to take very few meetings. Now, see, if I would have thought the meetings are my provider, then now I'm going to be in worry and in fear. No, because I've already knew my mind. God's my provider. If he tells me to stay home and not go anywhere, he'll take care of me. And I want you to know, I've gone into my financial gown and say, how are we doing? Pastor, we're doing fine. We're doing fine financially. We're doing fine. And I don't go in every week and look at the finances, not to say you can't, not to say it's wrong. I just don't believe that it helps my faith to keep numbers in front of me all the time.
That's right.
So I just said, if things start looking tight, just give me the heads up signal. That's all I want. Well, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to increase my faith. I'm going to increase the word going in. Not because I'm going to book more meetings. Now, don't misunderstand me. You have to work. God says he'll bless what you set your hand to. The more you set your hand to, the more he'll be able to bless. He didn't say he'll bless what you set your hiney to. He'll bless what you set your hand to. But if God told me, he said, don't travel as much this year. Stay more at the home base. Take care of things there. Do projects there because we've done a lot this year at the home base. Then he'll bless me right where he told me to be. You understand that? Your blessing place is being where God told you to be. Why? Because he's a provider and he knows where you're to be. So the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you get behind financially, start feeding on the word more. It's particularly scriptures that talk to you about him as your provider. Get that in your mouth more. You need to have a list. I stand before you today, all except, and this is getting ready to be taken care of in the next couple of weeks, that personally, I am completely out of debt except for my mortgage, which is going to get taken care of in a couple of weeks. And there's a partial on another property that we have that I owe a small amount on. But my home mortgage, that's getting ready to get taken care of. And if you were to say, how much is that? You know, you might say $50,000, $20,000. No. In a year and a half, in a couple of weeks, it will be $2.2 million.
Hallelujah.
In a year and a half.
Hallelujah.
In a year and a half. Not because I went out and worked for it, but because he's my provider. What did he do? He gave me divine ideas. He told me, he gave me business strategies.
Yes.
He told me how to handle properties.
Yeah.
He told me what to do with properties.
Yes.
He told me how to handle banks. He told me how to handle lawyers.
Yeah.
He told me how to handle it. And through the course of that, now 2.2, it was 1.5, but it's getting ready to be 2.2.
Yeah.
We'll be paid off. Plus,
great.
Plus, he told me to buy another home, which I did 2 weeks ago, and I bought that in cash.
Yes.
And I'm talking California dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
California dollars is a lot more numbers, you know?
Yeah.
Paid cash for it.
Praise God.
Paid cash for it. You want to know? I've told your pastor. You want to know what home it is? It's Amy Simple McPherson's home.
Yeah.
And I just got finished by, it wasn't for sale, but it was for me. God told me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God told me I'm going to give you that house. It wasn't for sale. And he did. And he gave it to me cash. It was taken a few months longer than I wanted, you know, the transaction,
yeah.
Just dealing with it, because it wasn't for sale. It had to go through multiple
sure.
boards. It had to go through congregational votes.
Yeah.
It had to go through everything
oh, yeah.
because her denomination owned it.
Yeah.
The Four Square denomination owned it.
Sure.
So it had to go through a lot of levels. And I was saying, God, this is taking so long. Why is it taking so long? He said, because I'm trying to get you to believe me for what I'm wanting to do for you. See, because as a minister, we get a housing allowance. A housing allowance, that portion is tax deductible. That's what this nation awards
yep.
ministers.
Yep.
When you're in the, when you're ordained full-time fivefold ministry, you get your housing portion tax-free. So I was going to not pay off the house because that's tax-free money. And God said, I want it paid off. And he said, because you weren't believing for it paid off, I'm waiting till you believe right.
Wow. Praise God.
So when I started my believing right, within a month, then it came, and then I was able to pay cash for it.
Praise
and he
God.
Was able to do, because he needed my believing so he could do it.
Right.
He couldn't do it against my believing. If I'm believing one thing and he's wanting to do another thing, he's got to wait for my believing to catch up to what he wants to do.
Yeah. Amen.
You understand that? I'm telling you that to brag on the provider.
Yeah.
To brag on that if he will do that for my faith, he will do that for your faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Amen. I could have taken a different mindset. I could have taken a different approach and said, well, you know, now because I don't have two incomes, now because I've lost really 70% of my income when my husband went home to be with the Lord, I've got to settle for less. I could have taken that approach. I could have easily fallen into that mentality that it was going to be less than for me. The only thing is that because God said he's the husband to the widow, if I take that approach, I'm calling him a less than husband than Ed was.
Come on now. Come on. Wow.
And I know this about God. He will not let a man outdo him as a husband. He's a provider for his household.
Yeah.
And, but you have to think right. I said you have to think right.
Yes.
All along the way, when different projects that require large amounts of money would come, I didn't sit down and go, oh my gosh, God, don't you know that my husband just went home? Don't you know that I've got so much on my plate. Don't you know? I didn't do any of that.
Amen.
Because I'm mindful that I've got a provider. This is his responsibility.
That's right.
He'll take care of it. And every time a money need, and I'm talking about a significant money needs have come up over the year, a significant ones, every time it would come up, I wouldn't go, oh my gosh. I would go, praise the Lord. I get excited because that meant he's going to do something big because my need is big.
Hallelujah.
When God told me he was going to give me Amy Simple McPherson's home, I tried to talk him out of it for about a day and a half. Because it's an old home. It was built in started in 1926. It took her 3 years to build. She built it, and it was finished in 1929. It needs updating. It's wonderful. Murals in the home. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful home. But it needs some love and care. And I was telling God, there's so many projects that need my love and care right now. I don't need another project that needs my love and care, because the home I'm in right now needs no love and care. And I was trying to, if I could say this, help him out by letting him know what it would mean. And I said, if I do this, when I do this and when I do this, if I buy this home, then all this money that I have right here, it's going to require all of this money that I could really just keep, you know.
Yeah.
When you're renovating, I'm talking about in California dollars again.
Yeah.
When you're renovating, if I didn't have this home to renovate, I could keep this money.
Yeah.
Keep, K-E-E-P,
yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah.
And he said this to me, money is a tool.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tools are to be used.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said that money is the tool to fulfill my plan. That home is my plan for you. Because I was kind of thinking, do I need to spend that much on a home or to do all of that, invest all that for me? Because I've already got a home. And he said, the tool is for the plan.
Yeah.
If it's my plan, then that's what it's for. Don't try to hold on to money that is meant to be used for the plan.
That's so good. That's so good.
Amen.
Amen.
So, how can I know that he'll take care of it? Because he said to me, he's my provider.
Yeah.
He said to me in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. What I have to do and what you have to do is have faith enough to create a need.
Yeah.
You have to create the need. The thing to do is follow the Spirit in creating the need. Don't just go out and put yourself in a financial difficulty, but follow the Spirit. See, God told me that he was going to give me that house. I didn't initiate that. I didn't conjure that up. He did. But I will tell you this. He tells you that he wants your joy to be full. So I could have initiated a new home, but get his counsel on it. Does that make sense? If you need a new home for your joy to be full, maybe you need a bigger home, then God will allow you to have that. You don't have to wait for him to initiate it.
Right.
You can initiate it, but you do want his counsel on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want his leading, his guidance on it. What would he say about it? And then once you have that, then you know this. You're authorized to move forward and your faith will work.
Yes. Amen.
Because he won't lead you in a place beyond your faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now the devil will, and your flesh can. Your flesh can lead you to do something that's beyond your faith. Your own human thinking can lead you to do something that's beyond your faith. But your spirit and the Holy Spirit within will never lead you to do something beyond your faith. Because if you get out beyond your faith, you can fail. That's why people who say, I've tried that faith message stuff and it doesn't work. Yeah, because they didn't have faith and they were trying to operate out beyond their faith. And then it failed. Because you get out beyond your faith, you're going to fail. You stay within your measure of faith, you'll succeed. When the Spirit of God leads you to do something, it's because it's within your measure of faith to do it.
Amen.
And your safe place is in doing it.
That's right.
Even if your mind doesn't think you can do it. Even if your mind can't calculate it. I was talking to somebody the other day because they're looking at wanting to buy a home. And they said, but I don't know where the money's going to come from. But I have it in my heart that God wants me to have a home. And I don't know where the money's going to come from. I said, no, wait a minute. Back up. I said, you are talking to someone responsible for $6.5 million. And I said, and then God said to me, I'm going to give you such and such a home. And it needs restoring. And it needs, you know, furnishing. And I said, I couldn't figure out the house, much less the $6.5 million, and I went ahead and did it. I did what I could not figure out. Because the provider has already figured it out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The provider will take care of you.
Yes.
He is your provider. You have to put it in your mouth. God will provide for me.
Yes.
Now go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We'll certainly be visiting some of these verses, possibly quite a lot during these services. Philippians chapter 4.
Glory to God.
and verse 19 when it says this in the King James, but my God, I'm so grateful he starts this scripture with the word but. But. In other words, this is a rebuttal to all your situations. Well, Father, you know, this need showed up, but.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a rebuttal for every argument you would have against. But my God. But my God shall supply. Your God is a supplier.
He is.
He's a supplier. And he delights to supply. Because that's what he does. My God shall supply. Look at this. All your need. Aren't you so grateful that the word supply is listed in this verse before the word need is listed? He put the word supply in front of the word need. Why? To let you know his supply is always in front of your need. It's always in front. But what's in front of the word supply? God. Not job. Not spouse. My God, there's a divine order here. God, supply, need. God, supply, need. But my God, if you think your paycheck is going to supply your need, you're not standing on this verse. But my God shall supply all your need. Why does God show us this so fully and so clearly? Because he's wanting us to not be need-minded. So many, let me say this, 97% of believers live need-minded. That's why they're living beneath. All they're thinking about is their need. All they're aware of is their need. All that goes on around the conversation at their dinner table is their need. My need. We don't have this. We don't have that. This broke. This won't work. We don't have enough to make ends meet. And these conversations that continually point to need. This verse is here so that we will no longer be need-minded. We will be supply-minded. It takes some renewing of the mind that the first thing you think of is that supply will be there for every need. Because when needs arise, sometimes they can slap you upside the head. They come so hard and so quick. They come dramatically sometimes. So it's going to show up when a need slams into your life. It's going to show up what you believe real quick of what slams into your actions. What slams into your thinking. What slams into your conversation? It better be, my God will supply. When we needed $400,000 to finish the building that we had, that we just, we finished it, the Bible school building. They told us $400,000, so we had the $400,000. But you know this, with buildings, $400,000 never means $400,000.
No.
Even though they may try to be as accurate, it's always going to expand the need. I would go in almost daily, and they're saying, we need another 40 for this. We need another 20 for this. We need another 10 for this. And I didn't say, oh, my gosh. You know what I'd say? We have a supply for that. We have a supply for that. And $100,000 over is what it ended up. We needed $500,000 at the end of it. And we never missed a moment. We never missed a day. We never missed a payment. The money kept coming. Why? Because as the need kept showing up, I kept talking about the supply. The supply. The supply will be there. I did not get cranky. I didn't get moody. I didn't get mad. I didn't talk ugly to anybody and chew some worker out. Why? Because he'll supply it. If that need shows up, he'll supply it. That's why you shouldn't get mad at your wife when the dishwasher breaks or the washing machine. You come home and, oh my gosh.
Come on.
You know why you responded that way? You really don't know yet. And you don't really believe that there's a supply for everything, even unexpected, that shows up. You know why you get upset when the kids ask for more money and ask for this or ask for that? Because you really don't believe there's a supply.
That's it.
Upset people do not believe there's a supply.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. And that's why I didn't put my faith when we were building that building, I didn't put my faith on 400,000, 400,000, because when they go over 400,000, then I'm upset because my faith was only on 400,000. I don't put my faith just on a dollar amount. I put it on the completion of the task, because when something arises, I don't have to skimp. I don't have to cut back and not do what I want to do because it's going to cost more. If God told us to build the building, then I'm going to put everything in there that I want to put in there and that I have in my heart to put in there. We're putting it in because there's a supply for the entire task.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to His. According to His. I want to read to you, a pastor sent me this translation of Philippians 4:19. It's the James T. Hudson translation. It says this, "And my God, on the scale of His wealth, will fully supply in Christ Jesus your every need in heaven's glory." Look at that. My God, on the scale of His wealth. This is why 97% are living beneath, because they're living on the scale of their wealth.
That's right.
97% do not even realize or capture, even in their spirits and with their faith, what His wealth is. I was thinking about this one day, and the Spirit of God said something to me that upended me. Because I was thinking about how whenever we would go to countries, third world countries, so to speak. And I mean, they're sitting there in abject poverty.
Yeah.
And I would go and I'd preach to them this Luke 4:18.
Yeah,
that
right.
the gospel will change your situation.
That's right.
And they're sitting there totally disinterested, just totally. I mean, I would have thought they would have been thrilled to hear about prosperity,
right.
Because when you're sitting in such poverty, you would think that any thread of prosperity that's cast at you, you would grab it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
But I noticed they just indifferent toward it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Indifferent. They just sit like they have no interest. There's no desire.
Right.
There's no reach in many of those situations for more, because they have become okay with poverty.
Yeah.
Listen, you will have everything you're okay with. God will let you have everything you're okay with. If you're okay with not having enough, He'll let you have not enough. You're okay with having ongoing symptoms that persist in your body, He'll let you have that. If you're okay with having kids that talk back to you, He'll let you have that. He'll let you have it. But if you ever decide you're not okay with it, He'll authorize you and back you up to have everything you reach for.
So good, Pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
So these people, they sit there and they hear prosperity, but it's just, there's a disconnect. There's a disinterest. There's no reach in them wanting out of that. But see, the thing is I can understand that. You want to know why? Because all they ever see around them is poverty. They don't even know what is available to them to even reach for.
Wow.
See, we've seen prosperity. Even if we're not living the level of prosperity we want to live and that we're growing toward, you can pick up any magazine, you can turn on the television, and you can see fabulous homes.
Oh, yes.
You can see palatial buildings. Some of these people who have no connect to the other world, so to speak, a world of prosperity, all they see is their little hut, they see their dirt, and that's all they see. They don't even get their appetite whetted for more because they don't see anything.
They don't see it.
So you can understand how they certainly don't reach for what they don't even know exists.
Yeah. Right?
And so I said to God, I was saying, you know, there's such a longing in you that they would at least reach for what you're preaching to grab hold of it. And they don't. They just let it fall because they don't even see. Because we've seen in our nation, we've seen a measure of prosperity.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you have traveled to other countries. You've seen fabulous buildings. You've seen wealth that is indescribable. We've seen pictures of it, even if we've never visited.
Right, right.
So we've at least seen that it's out there and available.
Yeah.
And so you long for them to reach for beyond your little dirt pad that you have.
Yeah.
But there's no reach in them because they just don't even fathom what prosperity would make their world look like.
Right.
They can't even fathom that. When I was thinking about this and talking about this, the Spirit of God said to me, yes, and you look like a third world country to me because I've seen what heaven looks like.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And I'm trying to get you to reach into the wealth that heaven has provided.
Yeah. Come on now.
And I was sitting there pitying them, and the Holy Spirit is pitying us because we're just thinking in terms of what America.
Yeah, right.
What's this verse? And my God shall supply on the scale of his wealth, not America's wealth. On the scale of his wealth. It's only the renewed mind that can reach for his wealth.
That's good.
Amen. That, listen, you'll never, your faith will never go any further than your reach. Your faith is your reach. It's what you're reaching for. Some people get so, well, you know, I'm okay with where I live. I'm okay with my house. That's fine. If your joy is full there, but don't be okay with it just because you don't want any pressure put on your faith.
Come on. Yeah.
You don't want any demand put on your faith.
Yes.
I've told God, I said, God, the greatest favor you can do for me is keep me reaching for needs to be met.
Yes.
Needs are the friend to faith because they help you grow, they help you become stalwart, they help you move into the experience of faith. Now listen, faith is experience. When you've seen God work and you've seen God move, your faith, now you become skillful. I have seen God work in a very particular way for me in the last year and a half since my husband went home to be with the Lord. I have had experiences with God. You know what that is? Faith.
Yeah.
Faith is experience. Needs keep you having experiences with God. Experiences in faith. Amen. Needs are your friend. Do not ever step back from creating a need that the Spirit leads you to create. Never step back from that, because that's what's going to give you experience with God.
So good.
Understand that. Without a need, you won't use your faith. You might think you will, but you won't.
You won't.
The greatest kindness God could ever do is lead you to create a need. That's his greatest kindness to you. Lead you to create a need. But needs to doubt and unbelief are an enemy.
Right.
It'll be their destroying place. When a need shows up to somebody who's in doubt and unbelief and fear, it'll destroy them. But to the person of faith, it'll be their propelling to the next level in God, to the next place in God, to the next experience in God.
So
you decide. If you gripe about needs, it's because doubt and unbelief is talking.
That's right.
If you rejoice at needs, it's because you have faith in the supplier. You have faith in the provider.
Amen.
It is a thrill to have a God-led need. Now, there's going to be needs that show up that God didn't create or you didn't create.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you're going to have something that needs repairing. You're going to have something you need, you know, another item for your business. You need another thing for your home. It's not something you initiated or God initiated, but he'll supply it because it's a need. If it's a need, it qualifies for a supply.
Amen.
My God shall supply all your need according to his. I like that. And God shall supply on the scale of his wealth.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We need to get off our scale and get onto his scale. We know what our scale looks like. We've been standing in it for a long time. Amen. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg that we're going to get into this week. Listen, there's a whole heap of better thinking for us in the Word.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
That by the time you're done, I want you reaching for more. You want to know why? This vision that your pastor has been given by God, it's going to need you to know how to get the money. You're going to need to know how to get the money. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not hard.
Yeah. Right.
You know what's hard? Getting past bad thinking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what. That's where the difficulty is.
That's where it's at.
It's getting past your brain. Yep. Because you have the Holy Ghost in your heart. You have success in you. You have success in you. But it's getting past the brain and the mind. Getting the thoughts of the Word. Remember what we started. Remember what we started with. That my people are destroyed, cut off from the blessings of God. Due to what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Anyone who died prematurely, sick, I'm talking about a believer. Any believer who went to heaven prematurely, sick with sickness and disease, they can never stand in front of Jesus and say, the disease killed me. He says it couldn't have because I paid for that.
Yeah,
something else killed you.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge of what I did for you killed you.
Yeah. That's right. Lack of knowledge.
You can't ever stand before God and say, I failed because you didn't give me enough money for my task. No, 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 no. You didn't fail due to lack of money. You failed due to lack of knowledge of what the supply for your life is.
Amen.
I like what one woman did. One of the instructors at the Rhema Healing School one day was talking to this woman, and she was diagnosed. He introduced himself to her and got to acquainted with her a little bit. And she was there at Rhema Healing School because she was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And she moved there to go to healing school every day. Every day go to healing school. She says, I decided that I was not going to die prematurely just because I didn't know enough. See, notice what she didn't say. I decided I wasn't going to die because I'm not going to let this sickness get me. See, it's not the sickness. It's the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. When you know, nothing takes you out.
Come on. So good.
Yeah. Remember when Paul over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he was talking about the communion?
Yep.
He was talking about how Jesus' body was broken, his blood was shed.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember? And it was revealed to him by revelation about what the body of the Lord meant. And then a few verses down, he said, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die. Many sleep, many die prematurely.
Okay.
What cause? They don't know what his broken body and his shed blood did.
Right.
They don't know.
They don't know.
And he said, that's the cause. They
that's
don't know.
That's right.
And many are dying prematurely. Many, not a few, many are dying prematurely. They're weak and sickly and die prematurely because they don't know this. He didn't say because of sickness. He didn't say because of disease. Likewise, many in the body of Christ are not living as rich as they should be because they don't know. They don't know that the gospel is the cure. They don't know that the provider is revealed in the gospel. Get to know what the provider has done for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Get it out of your head that you're the provider. Get it out of your head that it's by the strength of your own hand. He will use your side. You've got to bring your own effort, but when it's joined to his effort, your own effort looks so different now. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.